It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21. We're going to begin reading with verse 22 and then just read to the end of the chapter. So please open your Bibles, Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. That's where we'll begin. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our number is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our website, and I wish that you would, you'll find it www.parkviewbiblechurch.org, parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 21, beginning to read with verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We may get into the 22nd chapter, but right now we're going to stop there and begin with prayer and enjoy this wonderful study. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. I just ask that you'll guide and lead us. I ask that through your precious word, as we read down through the 24th verse, it spoke of those that are saved. There is a difference. It's not a universal salvation. We are saved by grace. And when we call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation, we need to be convicted of our sin by the Holy Spirit, introduced by the Holy Spirit to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And at that point in time is an opportunity we have to say, yes, please save me. It's not just open to any time that you want to open your mouth and say those words, or in your mind say those words. It doesn't work that way. It has to be a calling from God. The calling begins through His Word. And so today we're proclaiming His Word, and I hope that you are called today. I hope that you hear today and you respond and trust in the Lord Jesus. Father, that's my prayer. That's my request. So please today, please, please, dear Lord, that those that are saved, those that are lost, that need to be saved, are listening today and call upon you. And Father, those that are saved, I ask that they will listen to the Word of God, follow after the truth. There are many false doctrines taught today, and I ask that folks go to the King James, look at it, and Father, search it, stay with it, enjoy it, and grow, that they may be good, strong witnesses for you, that they may bring honor and glory, that I may bring honor and glory unto you. Now please, speak to hearts today, dear Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at the earlier verses there, and we have a reed to measure the city up in verse 15. And then in verse 16, we find that it's four square. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, and it's 12,000 furlongs. Length and breadth and height, all of it are equal. And as we looked at the furlong being 582 feet, and it says there were 12,000 of those, and if we would take that then times the 5,280, we find that that number comes to 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. And then from there we begin and we look at the wall, and he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits. And so we're looking at something in the direction of, again, that was in the 17th verse, and he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel, and that would make it approximately 216 feet thick. The wall rests upon the 12 foundations. Those 12 foundations are given then in the next verses there of 19, 20, and so we enjoy looking at those foundations, those precious stones that make up the foundation, and you can read those for yourself. And then we get down to verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one of one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine what this city looks like? Beautiful. That was just review of last time as we looked at the description that was given to us of the foundation, the wall, the size, everything. Wonderful to study and to look to the Word of God. And this is a literal city. It will be wonderful. Now, the next thing that we need to look at here begins with verse 22, and that's kind of where we start today. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. You know, God's new way, His economy here, so to speak. There is no temple. This shows us that all will have full and free access to God at all times. No need for priests, no need for a mediator, no need for a tabernacle. God will abide in this city with the streets of gold and the pearly white gates. There will be no need for the temple or a meeting place, for God will be everywhere as He dwells with His people. What a wonderful day. I hope you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, because if you do, you'll enjoy this. The alternative to this is to follow after another way, and you will find yourself, when you leave this life, you'll wake up in the place of torment, awaiting the final judgment, and that final judgment then will place you into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Now, today we have the wonderful freedom of religion. We have a freedom to worship who, how, everything. And so you have the freedom. There is no dictator, there are no government telling you how to worship, although that seems from time to time that it's changing. And it seems like that Christianity is the one that's getting the most difficult, the brunt of the problem today. And I don't understand, because if we want real freedom, Christianity gives us that. But everyone has an opportunity to worship how they want to, who they want to. But I know what the Word of God tells us, that if you choose not to trust in Jesus as your Savior, that you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's your choice. If you trust in Jesus, all this takes place. Everyone will live next door to Jesus. Everyone will live next door to God the Father. God the Father and the Lamb of God will make themselves known to all. There will be no house of worship for God or for the Lamb. There'll be no temple, because they are the temple. Verse 22 clearly tells us this. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. We will worship anytime. We will worship all times. We will worship anywhere, everywhere, under all circumstances. What a day. Verse 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The next thing to take note, to see, and that's the light. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Where Jesus is, there can be no darkness. There's no morning, there's no noon, and there is no night. All the day long, the glorious, wonderful day of His eternal light, of His eternal glory, and of His eternal peace will be ours. Jesus and God the Father will be the light, not only in the city, but of all things that are made. This Shekinah glory that they experienced in the wilderness as God led them through the wilderness and onto the promised land, as He led them out of Egypt first, across the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, this Shekinah glory will lighten every square inch that's made new during this time. And then as we look, let me just read verse 23. I want to go very slowly with this because I want you to see it. The city had no need of the sun nor the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Nations of them which are saved. Who are they? Billions will be born, millions will follow. There'll be millions that do not follow Satan as he is loosed for a season. Remember that? He will be loosed for a season. Kings and great men will serve King Jesus and not follow Satan. This is part of it. There will be nations who were friendly to Israel during the reign of the Antichrist, and there is 12 tribes of Israel. And so we have the nations that were friendly to Israel. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Those that are saved, those nations that were friendly towards Israel. We have the 12 tribes and those that were friendly towards Israel. The new earth will be occupied by Israel and all nations that are saved. That's the peoples that trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those nations. Different than the nation of Israel. God calls the nation of Israel to salvation. He called them first. He's going to call them again during this tribulation period. But you and I that are Gentiles, if you're a Gentile, if you're a Jew, if you're of Israel, why, you could be saved today as an individual. Just like I was saved as an individual through the Word of God. God called me. I trusted in him for salvation, called upon him, and I am saved and will be eternally saved. What a wonderful promise and guarantee our God gives us. As for the Gentiles, now the nation of Israel was called as a nation, and there will be multitudes within that nation be saved during the tribulation period. Should have been saved, should be the preachers of the gospel for all of ages. Instead of that, they rejected the gospel. They said that Jesus was not the Son of God. Jesus is not our Savior. And to this day, most do not believe that the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. The city will be the home of the New Testament church, the bride of Christ. The third heaven will remain the same. That's God's house. That's God's home. That will not change. We need to be careful to not try to limit God to this new earth and city in heaven, because God is everywhere and will be everywhere throughout eternity. As the scripture tells us, saved nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. They will acknowledge the authority of heaven and will, kings, nations, and Israel, bring into the city their tribute to the Lamb and to God the Father. They will abide in the new earth, and we, the church, will abide in New Jerusalem. What a day. Verse 25, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night therein. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into it any thing that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Today the true church is the salt of the earth, the light of the earth. The church is the dispenser of blessings and benefits to the world. And that's what makes it so sad when so many want to cast the presence of God away, wants to take anything that has to do with Christianity, with the cross, and do away with it. Do away with the Ten Commandments in the classrooms. Do away with any mention of God. Because they speak of a separation between church and state. There was no intention ever. We are not to have a religion, a state-run church. In other words, the church doesn't run the state. The state doesn't run the church. However, we need to understand that our God is our direction, our power, our leadership, our wisdom. And when the world tries to take all the presence of God away, we see why that we have the mess that we have today. It is neglect of our God. It is the absence of our God. And He didn't leave us, we've left Him. And if you want this land to be blessed again, you will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, you're able to praise and honor God the Father. The Lord Jesus is the creator of all the world, all the universe, everything. Worship Him, praise Him, acknowledge Him. And let the wisdom that God gives you then help you to direct and rule and lead this country in a godly fashion that's pleasing unto God. Now the atheists, they don't like that. Many even other religions like to keep this separate. The intent was not to have a government-run church. The church run the government rule back and forth. But the acknowledgement, the witness, what we learn from our God is the only way we can expect God to bless us. So that influence must remain. And if it doesn't remain, we will continue to go down the road that we're going right now. And we're going to be as every other ungodly nation. It was said by a missionary that we had at the church from Haiti, the reason that Haiti is so desolate and so poor is because of all the voodoo that is there. And he knows without question that if that nation, if those people would turn to the true God, Jehovah, that God would be able to turn and begin to bless them. It's the only place blessings come from. You want God's curse, you worship other gods. The church is the dispenser of blessings and the benefits to the world. The church is the dwelling place of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. When the church is strong, the people of that area are blessed. It grows for the good. We are the light. We are the light. Please, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an old movie years ago. Man came in, became the sheriff, straightened the city out. And the mayor said, well, I suppose we need that. But before you know it, then churches are going to come in, and then the taverns and all the other things, they'll go away. We're going to have law and order. And I suppose that's good. But he named it the churches. When the churches would come, things would change. Now that's the true church. That's folks that follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious word. Stand on it. Don't take bits and pieces of it. But you believe the Word of God. Stand with it and walk in the light of the Lord Jesus. And God will bless this nation. Now, many blessings are not necessarily material blessings, and yet He will give us our needs. And we need to trust that He'll do that. And we know that He will. You know, many foreign lands offer human sacrifices, and they do it by the thousands. Why do they do that? Why do they have voodoo for worship? Why do they worship the occult? Because it's the absence of the church. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the people. The Holy Spirit come to live within my heart the day I was saved. I have the light of the Lord Jesus in me, and I have the opportunity to proclaim it. And when we are in the presence, if we stay true to His Word, God will use us, and His power and strength will go from us. But when the church, when the people are absent, then expect these sacrifices and all those things to begin to grow. And we have again seen that in this nation. With the absence of God, we have seen the presence of the wicked. The church possesses the message and carries the light to bring happiness and peace and success and joy to all that will accept the Lord Jesus Christ and be part of His church. That's not saying part of this church, part of His church. All born-again believers are a member of His church. Now, when I say success, I'm not telling you that he's going to fill your pockets with money. But he will give you success. Because when you honor and praise him, he's the one that lifts you up. Verse 26, And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. In this new time, the church will be the capital seat of all rule and government over all things made new. Jesus will live in the new city with the church, moving in and out throughout all things made new. Why did God let Jesus leave heaven? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30 through 32. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why did God let Jesus leave heaven? For Christ's sake. Wonderful. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed unto the day of redemption. That means you can't be separated. Look what he did for us. I am so thankful that God sent his Son. And I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus came here to earth, lived that 33 years. His ministry amounted to that last 3 years. And then he died on the cross, shed his blood, bore all your sins. Mine, yours, everybody's. How did he do that? I don't know. I just know the Word of God tells us. And I know that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him, I know there's a difference. There's a difference. Jesus saved me, and Jesus keeps me. For the sake of his Son, God redeemed you and me. So that his Son would have a bride, spotless and holy. You see, it's not about me. It's about him. It's about the Lord Jesus. Years ago, we decided that most of us have a disease. Terrible disease. It's the I, me, my disease. It's all about me. What I want, when I want it, what I want, everything. It's all about me. Things I possess, things I do, doesn't matter. What I do to someone else doesn't matter. Because it's all about me. But you see, it's not. It's all about him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift him up. Come to him as your Savior if you haven't called on him yet. But when you call upon him, and I hope it's soon, then you begin to learn of him through his precious word, his perfect word. Enjoy it. Learn about him. Know about him. And then begin to understand that everything is all about Jesus. It's all about him. So, my dear friend, we've had a wonderful time here. We'll start with that 27th verse. What are you going to do about Jesus?